Today we have lesson 16, and we're in Ecclesiastes 8, verses 1 through 17. In today's verses, the preacher starts with the theme of adjusting to the inevitable in life. In verse 1, he says, "Who is like a wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the sternness of his face is changed." Solomon had searched for a wise man. He knew the interpretation of a thing. Solomon knew that wisdom makes a man happier, even in an under-the-sun premise. And he goes on in verses 2 through 6. He says, "I say, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand for an evil thing, for he does whatever pleases him. Where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say to him, 'What are you doing?' He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Because for every matter, there is a time and judgment, though the misery of man increases greatly." Solomon now says it's wise to obey authority. That's really what he's talking about here. Keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. The preacher understood what the apostle Paul would later write in Romans 13, verses 1 through 5. Some great verses to check out about our responsibility to authority. Primarily, we honor government authority for the sake of our oath to God. In a new covenant context, we obey authority as part of our obedience to God. We also recognize that we are always to obey God rather than man if the two contradict. So that's something else to consider here. You can check out Acts 4, verses 18 through 20 to understand that truth. And he says, where the word of a king is, there's power, and who may say to him, "What are you doing?" This is a reason why it's wise to obey a king. Their power, though sometimes held unrighteously, makes it unwise to fail to keep the king's commandment or to show him respect. Good will come to those who obey and honor the king. Wisdom knows what Solomon first poetically explained in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, that there is a time and a purpose for everything under heaven. The preacher understood that for every matter, there is a time and judgment. But he also knew that we don't know what those times are. A wise man's heart may learn to discern both time and judgment, but certainly not perfectly. And all men are not wise. So he goes on to say in verses 7 through 9, "For he does not know what will happen, so who can tell him what will occur? No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war, and the wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. All this I have seen and applied my heart to every work that's done under the sun. There is a time in which one man rules over another to his own hurt." If the lack of wisdom discouraged Solomon in Ecclesiastes 8, verses 6 and 7, he found the powerlessness of man in the face of death to be yet more despairing. Under the sun, he saw that death allows no winners, and there is no release from that war. In verse 9, because of all he had seen, the preacher knew that part of man's misery on this earth was when we're ruled by others oppressively. Then he goes on in verses 10 through 13, and he says, "Then I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of holiness, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This also is vanity, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before God. Well, what's he saying here? Even wisdom doesn't answer the big questions. There will always be an inability to understand what God's doing. Here, the question is, why are the deeds of the wicked soon forgotten? And they never got their punishment. With his under-the-sun premise, Solomon despaired that the wicked dead are not punished after death. If the wicked men are not punished after death, and they also are often not punished in this life, this just added to the sense of life's meaninglessness for Solomon. Then he says, I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him, but it will not be well with the wicked. In context here, we can suppose that the preacher said this more of a hope or a wish rather than with real confidence. He wishes this were true, but doesn't have confidence that it is. Then verse 14, there is a vanity which occurs on earth, that there are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Why do the bad have it good and the good have it bad? Why do good men and good women suffer? Solomon, speaking from his eternity-excluding viewpoint, felt this made life meaningless. Vanity, emptiness, futility. This was the great question of the book of Job, and almost unanswerable apart from a life that appreciates eternity and our accountability in a world beyond. In the second part of verse 14, when he says, again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. What does he mean? Perhaps even more of a problem to the preacher was the question, why do wicked men seem to be blessed? The strength of this question also made life seem meaningless to Solomon. Then in verses 15 through 17, we have kind of a live-for-the-moment mentality and know there's more than what you can see. Verses 15 through 17, he says, so I commended enjoyment, because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. For this will remain with him in his labor all the days of his life which God gives him under the sun. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that's done on earth, even though one sees no sleep day or night, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that's done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. With the meaninglessness of life so plain to the preacher, all he could counsel was to make the best of a bad situation and enjoy life the best way possible. Live for the moment and know there's more than what you can see. The writer concludes again with that the meaning of life and its labor cannot be fully grasped. In chapter 3, verse 11, Solomon said, he has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. And in verse 15, for the fourth time, this is now in the book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher told his assembly, then simply, as he's looked at life, what they need to do is to enjoy life and delight in the fruit of their labor that comes from God. Accept life as God's special gift and know that he gives us all things richly to enjoy, 1 Timothy 6:17. And this is good for all of us. Instead of complaining about what we don't have, we give thanks for what we do have and enjoy it. This ends Solomon's reexamination of the vanity of wisdom that he originally stated back in chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. Instead of rejecting wisdom, the king concluded that while wisdom can't explain every mystery or solve every problem, it can help us exercise discernment in our decisions. And as he alluded to in verse 6, yes, there is a time and a judgment for every matter under the sun. The notes for today's lesson can be found at naomistable.com.